Texas. They say everything's bigger here, and they're right. We've got big cars, big hearts, and even bigger stakes. This is beef country, Texas, home to the Alamo, the Cowboys, and the largest military installation known to man. So big, it has a big name. Fort Hood, the great place. It's got a Texas-sized podcast as well. And this is it, right here, Fort Hood's great big podcast. Yeehaw.
So do you feel special, Charlie?
I am always.
You are special.
Always.
You are special.
Why am I special?
You are mission essential.
Absolutely.
You are a mission essential government employee, Charles.
We are all mission essential, and that's why you're hearing us right now. And listeners, dear listeners, you are also mission essential because without you, there'd be no one to hear us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Point.
So this great big podcast is a kind of a special edition. It is the town hall that we had today, the virtual town hall.
Yep.
But it's all edited together because if you tuned in at the time, no, nothing from the peanut gallery. If you turned in at the tune in at the time, you might have noticed it kind of started and stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped. I was on one end of that, pulling what hair I don't have out.
Charlie Mabe, social media manager for the day.
Trying to get that to work. And interestingly enough, PFC Kyra Pearl was on the other end with all of you fellas watching it. Pearl, what was that like?
It was frustrating. If you didn't have good Wi-Fi, then it wasn't loading properly. And then whenever it did load, if it hit 600 people watching, that's whenever it seemed to cut off, unfortunately, and you'd have to go back to the page and reload to wait for whenever you restarted one.
I know, and for all the frustration people felt at home or wherever they were watching that, you can bet that that frustration was multiplied 100 times over in the actual room where the magic was happening.
Oh, I believe it.
Oh, yeah.
So we're lucky that we're able to be able to present this to you.
Uninterrupted,
without the technological hiccups.
We actually restarted that thing 6 times. There were 7 video clips.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you were right about when it hit 600. And it's funny because it always took about 9 or 10 minutes for it to go blip.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it happened 6 times.
Yeah, and I was in there
in an hour.
Every time it would go down, I'd count down. I'd say, okay, we're getting ready to go in 3, 2, 1. And I think after a few of those, they were like, start counting down from 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, he'd give them a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then the video would give a 3, 2, 1. He goes, would you please start from 8?
So.
Yeah. He had it down by the 3rd time.
I did.
And somebody said, see, we are trainable.
Yeah, absolutely. give the monkey a banana. So we got this for you. Even though we're at a different place than we were when this town hall actually happened, this information is still applicable and valuable.
Yep.
So please pay attention. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to comment, or is that fortunately for me? I don't know.
That's very fortunate for you.
But, you know, you can jot down some thoughts if you have and send them to us, share them with us. That's
absolutely
fine.
What is our Gmail account again?
It is, what is our Gmail account again? It is Fort Hood, P-A-O, one word,
yep.
Fort Hood, P-A-O, @gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, please send us a question. Just don't ask us why the gyms are open. tired of answering that one. I'll be honest. I'm really tired of answering that one. So without further ado, and I'm sure you guys want us to get on with it by now.
Oh, yeah.
Here is Fort Hood's virtual town hall.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. I'm Major General Scott Eflant, the Deputy Commanding General for 3 Corps in Fort Hood. And on behalf of the 3 Corps Commander, Lieutenant General Pat White, and Command Sergeant Major Dan Hendricks, both of whom are deployed right now, I'd like to welcome you to our town hall. Today we're here to answer your questions, and I suspect there's 2 that are foremost in your mind. First, where we're at in regards to the coronavirus and the current state of housing here at Fort Hood. To help me, I have on my left Colonel Jason Westbrook, the Fort Hood Garrison Commander, and then on my right, Colonel Rich Malice, the Darnell Hospital Commander. And right next to me is my battle buddy, Command Sergeant Major Adam Nash. As you submit your question today, please recognize that many of you may have the same question, and we're going to lump those together. The unfortunate part of that is I may not get to recognize you by name, but the important thing I'd like you to remember is we're going to answer your question. So to start off, I'm going to first ask Colonel Malice to discuss a little bit about how we're preparing to deal with the coronavirus. Here in Central Texas, we've been fortunate to have relatively few COVID-19 problems compared to many parts of the country. As part of this success can be attributed to the hard work and close cooperation between civilian and military teammates in the area. Ongoing are increases in protective measures and changes in our normal operations that will help to perpetuate and protect our soldiers, families, and civilians, and the communities at large. Next, we'll ask General Westbrook to give us a brief snapshot on where we're at in improving the quality of life here at the Great Place. And then we'll transition. We'll answer some of the questions that have already been submitted, and then we'll take the questions that come in live during our town hall meeting. So you can start now and begin submitting your questions. I look forward to this time that we're going to have together, and let's start it off with turning to Colonel Malice.
Thank you, sir. Sir, team, thank you for having me here. I think this town hall is extremely important. There are 4 things I will discuss with you today in relation to the novel coronavirus. and then afterwards, as General Eflant said, I look forward to taking your questions. First, I want to inform you that CRDAMC stands ready to support the 3 Corps community and the Fort Hood neighbors. You will notice our posture heighten every day. In the past 3 days, we have created a COVID-19 ward, a COVID-19 clinic, and we have implemented measures to take care of our patients by phone, virtual messaging, and where possible, video teleconferencing. We have canceled non-elective surgeries, and we have begun a very manpower-heavy screening process. By the end of this week, we will have implemented major changes to our visitation policy and to our pharmacy workflow. By the end of next week, we will have a drive-through screening process for those presenting with respiratory illness. This change is large but is necessary. We appreciate any constructive feedback. We need it. But at the same time, please be patient and supportive of our medical team. My second point is this. Fortifying our hospital is a necessary step to prepare for the pandemic. But focusing just on the hospital will not be enough. We must slow the spread of the virus. The more rapid the virus spreads, the more people will get ill. The scenario that we are working to avoid is one in which there are so many sick patients that they outpace our ability to manage them. We must work to not have a spike in COVID cases. We must work to flatten that spike, to flatten that curve. And so our defense begins with you. Social distancing, accessing medical care remotely, and isolating yourself as soon as you have flu or cold-like symptoms are vital to this effort. This brings me to my third point. Please take care of your families, friends, and neighbors. If you're close to an elderly or chronically ill loved one, please protect them. Help them to avoid infection. If you happen to have a healthy family, there are other challenges ahead. We are entering a new time. Loneliness, isolation, anxiety, and fear are all threats. Now is the time for altruism and love. We must handle this pandemic with seriousness and understand that our loved ones are completely uprooted and in some cases very scared. It might not be purely medical advice, but please take care of your loved ones. And finally, This time right now is precious. We must use the next days wisely, with deliberate tasks to achieve clear purposes. Our hospital, our community, will not necessarily be ready all at once. It'll take time and steps. We must build the capacity with urgency, but without panic. I urge you to spend the days ahead learning and preparing, as we are doing, as your medical team. Now is the time for calmness, patience, tempo, to be deliberate and organized. These days right now are precious. I look forward to answering your questions about COVID, our medical system, and whatever else is on your mind. I believe I will be followed by the Garrison Commander.
Colonel Mallett, very well said. Thank you. Colonel Westbrook, tell us what's going on at Ford.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So this was originally scheduled to be just a housing town hall, but given the change in the environment, we adapted it to be about the coronavirus and housing. I'm not sure how many housing topics will come up today, but I'm prepared to address those. But I do have a few I want to discuss before we get into the COVID-19 discussion. So we get the word out. First, I want to highlight the success of our community life NCOs. These are senior non-commissioned officers, sergeants, assigned to our community life housing, community life centers in the housing areas. These sergeants serve as advocates for our families living on post, and I encourage residents to get to know them. If you live in on post housing and you're not getting, you think, the results that you need, what I'd ask you to do is get to know them, communicate through them, so they can communicate to me and we can help resolve problems. A second change that we've made most recently is our case management team. We adapted this about 2 weeks ago, and we're already seeing a difference. For some of our more complex situations, we've created this team of experts led by one of our great Army civilians, and the goal of this team is to facilitate communication with the resident and all parties to help resolve complex problems quickly. Finally, the last time we met to talk about housing, we mentioned the National Defense Authorization Act that would contain guidance with regard to housing. I'm happy to say that we have received guidance on both the Army Tenant Bill of Rights and the Army Displacement Policy. Additionally, we received expanded guidance on the displacement policy from the Installation Management Command Commanding General, Lieutenant General Gabram. While I don't necessarily plan to discuss those in depth today, I can answer questions if they come up, and I encourage our residents to watch the Fort Hood Sentinel, our newspaper, in the next 2 weeks because we'll have articles specifically dedicated to those two policies. Our goal is to make Fort Hood the number one choice of duty stations for all our families, and a key piece of this is our family housing. We will continue to work with our housing partner to ensure they provide safe and healthy homes. Switching back to COVID-19 and to close my opening comments, there were a number of changes across Fort Hood implemented today. I know some of the decisions may be unpopular, such as closing the child development centers, but we will continue to assess the threat to enhance our social distancing to ensure the health and safety of all members of the Great Place. As deliberately as we work through reduction of services or closing our facilities, our great Garrison team will be as diligent working through the reopening and expanding capacity when the threat of coronavirus reduces. Sure, back to you.
Colonel Westbrook, thank you for that. Just let me highlight what I think is really important out of that statement. Friends, teammates, those that live in on Fort Hood, the community life NCOs are your conduit to talk straight to me. So the NCOIC of the community life NCOs, Sergeant Major Cole, he reports directly to me and Sergeant Major Nash. So if the system is not working as it should to give you first-class treatment, you need to let them know, and they're going to come to us, and we're going to work it together as a team and resolve it. Because there's no excuse for getting trapped in the bureaucracy or getting the runaround. All right, so let's transition. A few questions were submitted in advance. So Crystal H. asked about Gray Wolf soldiers being quarantined upon return from Korea. They were not quarantined upon return, they were quarantined prior to return. But as the environment has changed, the quarantine procedures changed just to account for the number of people that are transiting back to the United States, specifically our soldiers. So now soldiers returning from Korea will be quarantined upon arrival in the continental United States, and soldiers that return from Europe or any other place abroad will similarly be placed into quarantine. Is that different now than it was a week ago? Absolutely. But then again, the environment has changed, and accordingly, we've adapted. Rich, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, yes, sir. So we have a question from Michael P., and it there's a lot of similar questions to this one that have been coming our way. And the question is, how should soldiers who are exhibiting coronavirus, COVID-19-type symptoms access sick call? And it's a very good question because things are changing rapidly. What we're looking to do is minimize large congregations of sick people. And so a soldier with infectious symptoms, upper respiratory type symptoms, should in fact not go to sick call. Their first place to go would be to call their provider. And we've provided them all their provider phone numbers. Or if they can't reach them by phone, to go ahead and do a secure message, which is a fancy type of email. Once they're in contact with their provider, they should collaborate together and come up with a plan. That plan may be simply to stay at home and recover at home, or it may be to come in and get tested or something like that. But I think the most important point is that soldiers with respiratory-type symptoms no longer should be reporting directly to sick call without their provider's collaboration and sort of instruction. And so that's a great question. I appreciate hearing from Michael P. and the rest of the community.
Thank you. Sir, I'll take the next one here. I've got a question from David W. He's got a question in respect to respirators, wearing respirators while on duty. He says, my wife has asthma. If she catches COVID-19, it could lead to her death. Am I authorized to wear a respirator and uniform to protect myself from getting it, and which in turn will protect her from getting it? So, David, I think the first word of advice I'm going to give you is that we need you to call our hotline, our medical hotline provided by Credamcy at 254-553-6612. After you've called that number and you get sound medical advice from the providers on that line about your situation, they can give you some great recommendations that then you can take up with your chain of command, who will cross-reference it with your medical providers and give you the best way forward. Hope that helps, David.
Excellent.
What's the next one? Yes, sir. So I have a question from Ingrid R., who is an Army civilian married to a soldier. And the question stems about, with the schools being closed, is there an allocation for childcare on the installation? Well, as I stated earlier in my opening statements, or we closed our child development centers this morning, with the exception of one. There is one child development center that is remaining open for essential personnel, mission essential personnel. And I would highlight that this is not the same category of mission essential personnel that we would have for adverse weather. So we're looking at those who were on the list and reevaluating to ensure that we prioritize our medical personnel and our emergency services personnel, who are going to be the mission essential people as we work through any any infections with the coronavirus.
Thank you. Turning now to Christine M. asks, if we have soldiers who are currently on leave in different states, are they able to come home? Yes. Soldiers on leave should conclude their leave and return to their duty station. Soldiers that have been on leave overseas and returning to their duty station will go through a quarantine period. If that policy for some reason changes, which we're not anticipating, we'll have instructions accordingly to account for their leave time and their duty time. But right now, conclude your leave, come back and report into your chain of command, and we'll take care of business.
Yeah, yes, sir. So I have a question from Kyle B., and I think that this one is one that I really understand right now. And it says, we feel like we can't get enough information about what is going on. How can we know more? And I think it's a real challenge. The fact of the matter is, team, right now, is things are moving very, 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 very quickly. As I said earlier, now is a time for deliberate action. And I think the communication is something that we will have to focus on because it may lag a little bit. What I'll say about our medical system is that please log onto our website, see what we're posting there. The other thing is that Command Sergeant Major Nash mentioned the hotline. Again, that number is 254-553-6612. That hotline receives about 100 and 150 calls per day. So we'd like to reserve that one for people that have concerns about themselves and their symptoms that they're having, not probably general information. So go to our website, go to the Three Corps and Fort Hood website, access other sources of social media, and we'll try to get the word out. We understand that's an issue, and we'll continue to try pushing that.
Sir, I'm going to follow up with a question that was sort of related to yours about CONUS-based travel. And I've got a question here from Michaela C., who's asking about her husband that is currently at Fort Bliss for field training and is set to return later on this month. And the question is, will he be held in quarantine once arriving back to Fort Hood, or will he be allowed to return home? So the quick answer on that, Michaela, is he will not be quarantined. We are not in the business of quarantining anybody that's going CONUS-based travel, supporting training here within the United States. However, if he is showing symptoms of COVID-19, he should go ahead and start to self-isolate and notify his leadership. That would be the only reason that we would initiate or have them initiate self-quarantine. Hope that helps.
Okay, sir, similar to Sergeant Major's question, this is from, I think, a soldier in the barracks, Horacio C., and he asked about if there's a threat of the coronavirus spreading through the HVAC systems in the barracks. And all of our barracks have a central, for the barracks that have a central air system, that they are designed so they would not prevent spread of disease. It doesn't transmit that way. So there isn't a spread of coronavirus through the HVAC systems. But just like Sergeant Major said, if we have a soldier that's exhibiting symptoms, you should notify the chain of command and self-quarantine in the barracks. And then call the medical hotline to work through his providers to make sure he's getting the proper treatment.
Okay. I'll take one more advanced question, then maybe we'll transition to the live questions. Danielle K. asked, what would it look like if the post gets locked down? How would life change for those of us that live on post? I don't foresee the post getting locked down. That's a category of response that would not be appropriate for infectious disease that we're facing now. But what you would likely see if we get an exponential increase in the outbreak of disease is a reduction of services on the garrison to up to including maybe minimum personnel only. And it would look more like what you would have when we have an ice storm here or bad weather. It would be key and essential. And then we would just take that pause while we regrouped and assessed what the environment looked like. But we wouldn't be locked down because the threat is not from us. The threat is from a disease being spread. And we would just reduce the opportunities for that to happen. And it would, like I said, in short, it would look a lot like minimal key and essential personnel in response to bad weather is how that would come across. And we'll be just fine. All right, so let's go to the live question. Let's see. Aaron D. asks, why is the command team at Fort Hood not following CDC guidance on social distancing? Units are still holding battalion formations. Well, let me start off by acknowledging that the command team that is sitting at this table is not adhering to social distancing. And we're not proud of that. However, we thought it was important to get these four people together so we could talk to you. Sometimes you got to do what's necessary to take care of the team. And along the same lines, units are weighing the guidance with what's important to take care of the team. And the leadership here understands the best practices published by the CDC, and they're empowered with the authorities to act upon them. Now, Aaron, if you want to personal message me with the unit in question that you think is having a hard time with social distancing, please do that. Send it to me direct, and the Sergeant Major and I will make sure that chain of command is fully informed of the best practices and what their authorities are so we can all move together to a better spot on this. All right.
Sure, I'll take the next one. Allie O. asks, I think, a very important question as it relates to child youth services. The question is, can CYS fees be waived during this period we're unable to use the service? I'm worried I'll lose my slot if I don't continue to pay. And Allie, I will tell you, I shared this same concern as we worked through this process to close down our CDCs and child youth services. And one, the fees are either being reimbursed or credited because I recognize that you're not using that. And I've asked the DFMWR, the Director of Family Morale, Welfare, and Recreation, actually to freeze the list of families who are using the services so they don't lose their slot. I think that's the right thing to do during this difficult time.
Great. So I'm going to take this next one from Jason R., who's probably got a question that many of our troopers do. And Jason says, my unit is still planning on going to the field next week. How are we keeping soldiers safe from this virus when we're going out in a small area with no access to personal hygiene. It makes no sense for us to be conducting this training when soldiers in our unit have children that are out of school and all the CDCs are closed. Where is the common sense right now throughout the Army? Hey, Jason, that's a great question. And this is a careful balance that I think every leadership right now is tackling. Most of our units here on Fort Hood are force comm units, and we need to remember that the force comm's number one priority is to deliver decisive total Army readiness to meet global combatant command requirements. So it's a careful balance, but I assure you, Jason, that every one of our leadership elements here at Fort Hood is taking the health and safety of our Army family as our main priority and balancing it to meet our global demand. Our leadership will continue to take decisive measures to mitigate the spread of the infectious disease, and this includes while out in the field environment. I hope that helps, Jason.
Thanks, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, thank you, Sergeant Major. There's a question here for the Quinancy Commander, and that's from April C., who asks, further clarification is needed for the outlying clinics as to what is essential and not essential. The AWC is unsure of their need to be at work or if they can conduct health coaching by teleworking. Currently, no appointments other than telephone coaching are being done. So it's a great question, and it's one that we're facing over in the hospital or healthcare system right now. And my guidance has been to my deputies, if you have a person that is not directly involved with hand or face-to-face healthcare, laying hands on personnel, and we have a fair amount of administrative support personnel, and the one that normally comes very quickly to mind are our coders, that they should be doing that work from home. It sounds like the AWC position, which I'm not familiar with that term, but we have a number of behavioral health type of coaches in our system. I think that type of care should be completely transitioned to virtual health. What I want to make sure we do, though, is remain a capability to see you for urgent care needs as well. So we're continuing to keep our clinics open, but we do ask that you access us through the phone or virtual messaging before coming in, especially if you have infectious symptoms. But I do see your point, and I will relay it back to my team. It's consistent with the guidance I've given to my deputies, which is teleworking. And we're very liberal with teleworking right now, just for the sake of those providers as well as the community at large, but an excellent question.
Yeah. Chris G asked a question very similar to the one I just answered, so clearly it's a theme in the community. Chris G asked, what will happen in the event severe COVID-19 confirmed cases appear on post? Will we go into lockdown? My spouse works off post. Will she get back to her family? Lockdown, Chris, is not a solution to a problem of severe outbreak of COVID-19. How we'll approach it is, one, first, we carefully monitor the trend rates to ensure that we don't end up with a sudden surprise severe outbreak. And then second, what we'll do is reduce the need for people to be on post. So we don't have to quarantine the post. We'll reduce the activities on post so that it comes down to key and essential personnel and the people that live on post. And that's how we'll respond to any advancement of the COVID-19. To date, thanks to all of our hard work, working together as a team and following the CDC guidelines, we have not had an outbreak on post. But I feel confident that if and when that happens, we'll be prepared to respond for the benefit of all. All right, let's see. Sergeant Major, I think you're up next.
Yes, sir, thanks. I got a question here from Anna C., who asks, I'd like to know, with all the coronavirus situation going on, is it safe for our soldiers to be going to work instead of staying in and being on standby? And then there's a follow-up question about when will they have more stuff stocked at the commissary? I'm going to divert that commissary question over to our garrison commander, but I'm going to try to handle this one first about, is it safe for our soldiers to come to work? Yes, I think there is some, with all the scare of the coronavirus, Anna, we need to keep some sort of normalcy with what's going on. And a great defense is a strong offense. And I think everybody should still be doing those normal things like physical fitness. Obviously, we should be doing it in smaller groups. And I think the CG has put out a message across the entire post of, hey, we need to go down to squad and team size physical fitness and do it outdoors, get it in the open air. But we still need to remain ready, and we need to have personal accountability. Our soldiers still coming to work, although different units will have different schedules. Some will go to, down to reduced hours. Some still have a mission they have to train for. But the most important part is that our leaders put eyes on our soldiers every day to make sure that we're policing up after each other, getting a good look on them. Hey, there are no signs and symptoms out of all of my soldiers. We're good to go. We'll finish business and get back to work. And, sir, if you could take the commissary question.
Before I talk about the commissary, Sergeant Major, I wanted to address your point about physical fitness. And, yesterday, Bell County declared a state of disaster, and they were closing recreation centers out in town. But I want to make a point here that fitness centers in on this post are part of physical readiness and building the capability within our soldiers, and we're not closing our physical fitness centers. We have put in place a requirement that we don't do unit PT in the gyms, but the gyms will remain open for soldiers to work out at. Going to the commissary question, I think it's a great question. I want to highlight that right now we're not having a problem getting goods into the commissary. The challenge is getting the goods onto the shelves for people to buy. The commissary managers have done a great job of pulling some of their personnel that do stocking at night, put them on during the day, and they're working very diligently to get those products out. The trucks are coming, and they're getting the stockage out on the floor as quickly as possible. And so I just be patient and keep trying back. They will have food there, and I'd ask everybody to don't take a lot of stuff. You know, make sure there's stuff for other people. You know, I think they were doing a good job yesterday. My wife went there, and they were limiting some things to a couple of items per person, so that everybody had a chance to get what they need.
I think just to put it in perspective, Colonel Westbrook, I think one of the statistics I heard was that on any given day, the commissary is currently doing what would normally be 5 days worth of sales by volume.
Yes, sir. That's
is
correct.
That accurate?
Yes, sir.
That's an amazing amount of workload being sustained day to day to day. So thank you. Let's see.
Sure, I think I have the next one, too.
There we go, Garrison.
So this is a housing question, so changing the topic a little bit. But what is being done about the mold problem in housing? And this is Amanda E. asking the question. She says she received a test where there are hot spots, but nobody has come out. Amanda, I think this is a great question for here, and I think I go back to my opening comment, right? If you've called the maintenance line and somebody's come out and said you had mold and you haven't seen maintenance come out to address that issue, right? One, make sure your spouse is chain of command, or if you're in the Army, your chain of command is aware. And then secondly, get to know that community life NCO. Okay, the community life NCO works directly for the CG, the acting senior commander here, General Efwant, and I guarantee you that he will energize people to get the work done. All right, thank you.
Sure. It looks like the next question is for Kredamsi again, and this one is from Steve L., who asks, my wife used to use Express Scripts, but her prescriptions became too expensive. Is or will Express Scripts waive these non-formulary fees while this social and physical distancing is expanding? And so that's a very good question. It's a highly specific question. I think that probably, Steve, your wife is likely getting a and I need to come talk to you, to be quite honest, if you can send us a specific email. But she's likely seeing an off-post provider getting a non-formulary drug is my thought, because those were the recent restrictions that were imposed as of October 1, 2019. So the question is one I'll have to get back to you with. I will say this. This is an important question, not just for you, but really for our retiree population. Our retiree population doesn't have to pay a copay when they come to our pharmacy. So the question has been asked, can that be waived so that they can go get their medicine at CVS or one of the local pharmacies, so that that would prevent the congregating and the waiting that we have in our pharmacy? I don't know the answer to that either, but I do know that it's being looked at the highest levels of a MedCom. It's been raised to our senior leaders up there, to include the leaders at the Defense Health Agency. So it's something that's being looked at the highest levels. What I owe you in the community is an answer as to what we can do with that. I think it's a complicated problem that involves different branches of government. I think there's a follow-on to that question. And Steve L., please, again, I'd love to get the specifics of your question, and I'll get it to my pharmacy staff, and we can answer that for you. Looks like there's another one. It says Vicky B., or from Vicky B., are they going to start drive-through testing for Medicare eligible patients? Excellent question. So,
why did yours?
Yeah, yes, sir. So yes, we are going to erect a drive-through clinic for respiratory illness. It's going to be in our east parking lot. We have the luxury of having a large covered parking lot. So we're going to restrict our parking in that parking lot and set up a couple of lanes, up to four lanes, to get people with unclear symptoms. You know, you might not know exactly what's going on. We don't want them necessarily coming into the hospital, but we'll be able to test with them. And there could be a lot of follow-on questions with that. But you'll start seeing movement towards that. Start looking for signage in the parking lot to direct you in that direction. Sir, turn it back.
Okay. Nicole H. asked a very direct question and incredibly insightful in its simplicity. Why can't non-emergency essential military and civilians be authorized to work from home? Some are. As part of the social distancing and the protective measures on post, we have maximized telework. We've increased flexible work hour schedules, and we've come with atypical work patterns to take care of that. But that's for some of our team. For other parts of the team, it doesn't lend itself to doing telework or flex hours or one of the other measures. At the end of the day, our commitment is to protect the soldiers, families, civilians, and communities while maintaining readiness for the Army and for the Department of Defense. And so as the chain of command approaches their assigned task, they take that mantra foremost, and when possible, facilitate working at remote site or in atypical measures. And as required, when it's not posing a risk to soldiers, families, civilians, or the communities, continuing with the business of maintaining readiness so it's available to our country. Because although COVID-19 is a new condition, the threats to our friends and allies overseas is not a new condition, and arguably could even be increased as people look for opportunities to take advantage of us.
The next question comes from Ricardo D., who's asking, is the commissary going to have curbside pickup? And the short answer is no. They're not resourced to do that. And more importantly, they're taking the people that they do have, and they've shifted, as I said earlier, people from the night shift to the day shift to ensure they're stocking the shelves and getting the product out on the shelves, which is what we want them to continue to do. So not doing curbside pickup, but the commissaries are going to remain open.
I think that's a great idea, though, for the record.
Yes, sir.
Right. Sir, it looks like I've got the next question, but before I do want to apologize. Not any of our fault that the video keeps falling out and we keep reloading it, but I do want to apologize for that. I do thank the viewers for tuning back in as well. So I do have a question from Cindy S. It says, if I have a soldier in my unit who seems to have symptoms similar to COVID-19, what should I do? And that's a great question, Cindy. I think the military's been great about when you see something, you say something. Shame on your fellow soldier there for not recognizing the signs and symptoms and self-quarantining right off the bat and seeking medical attention, either through virtual or through sick call. Actually, I want to punt this over to our Colonel Malish, who could probably have a better answer than this infantryman would.
Yes, Cindy, yes. So that's a similar question to it's similar to many that we've been entertaining, and I believe I addressed it in the very beginning. It's as simple. The soldier needs to go away from other people, back to their barracks or back to their home, and they need to access health care through the phone and or telemessaging or telehealth. And then they need to collaborate with the provider. Each case will be different. The provider will determine in collaboration with the patient whether they need to come in. But the key thing is we can't have sick patients congregating with others, and the sick call is probably not the place to sort of have that evaluated. And so rather than go to sick call, which is it's an enormous paradigm shift, that soldier should be released from their first line supervisor to go home and then contact healthcare and then move out that way.
Okay. The next question comes from Kira D, and I think this is a great question as it relates to our civilian employees, our great Department of the Army civilians. And the question is, what is the answer for civilians who work on post and need childcare if the centers on and off post have been closed? How do we get authorized admin leave? Well, this is somewhat of a complex answer because we have received guidance from the Office of Personnel Management of what qualifies for admin leave and what doesn't. But what I'd encourage you to do is talk with your supervisor, right, and we can raise your issues and we'll work through the process to ensure that you are able to take care of your children.
Let me just add, the Sergeant Major and I recognize that our families and then our children are the fulcrum upon which all of us operate. And we know that the child development centers, schools, and youth activity centers are just pivotal for making all of it come together the way we're used to. That topic, CDC's youth activities, is probably the pacing item or the critical path that we keep track of day to day, hour to hour. And we are not tone deaf to that. We're just in a time of hard choices. And my apologies for the inconvenience that causes us, and specifically your family, but we think it's necessary for the greater good and to get through this period faster.
So the next question comes from Holly B, who asks, what do you foresee with upcoming civilian scheduling changes, layoffs, leave without pay, use sick, then annual leave until gone, loss of pay for healthcare workers in outlying clinics? I think it's directed to me because it's involves healthcare workers, but I really think that's actually a question for HR and CPAC and the like there, because I'm not completely up to date on the latest guidance regarding leave. But I think in that question is a deeper concern, and that's healthcare workers that contract respiratory illness or COVID. And it's something that concerns us very, very much, that they'll be taken out of the fight for a quarantine or an isolation type maneuver. And that's, for example, why you see us having screeners in front of our hospital now. You'll get many, many questions as you come in, whether you're expressing symptoms consistent with COVID. And we're really, right now is really a time for us not to be cavalier with the personal protection. We have to mitigate our risk to our workers, our healthcare workers. And so the question about leave and how leave will be expended is one that we'll have to get back to you. I'm going to reach out to our HR specialists and get that. But I do understand the concern, and I think the idea of safeguarding these personnel with heightened protective measures is one way that we can sort of prevent this situation from evolving in that way.
Returning to a previous theme, Courtney C. asks, is there a potential for the base to be quarantined due to the virus? How would it affect West Fort Hood? No, I don't see a potential for the base to be quarantined because as you look at what's happening at Fort Hood, the surrounding counties, and this whole nation, there's nothing that would indicate that we would go into some special condition of quarantine. Instead, what the Department of Defense or Department of the Army has done is we have canceled, scaled, reduced exercises to minimize travel. We have stopped the PCS movement of soldiers between duty stations. And, excuse me, we have limited recreational travel to the local area. And so for Fort Hood, that's 60 miles. That community-type quarantine is where we're at and where we're likely to continue. And again, if we see a change in the environmental conditions, a greater outbreak of the disease, then we probably will do more to increase the social distancing on post, such as going to key and essential, before there'd be any type of special quarantine or isolation. And then Brandy T. asked, and it makes me wonder if she's sitting right next to Courtney typing these in, but Brandy T. asked, will soldiers be able to assist the spouse with taking care of children during duty hours while the daycare centers are closed, so the working spouse does not lose their job? Like Sergeant Major and I expressed earlier, we understand completely the sensitivity of the daycare centers being open and the second and third order effects. There is that potential. The chain of command has the authority to adjust work schedules in accordance with their mission requirements, and it's on a case-by-case basis. There's no blanket solution to that because each of our family situations are just too unique and too complex to try and fix it with a 1,000-foot screwdriver. Brandy, thanks for your patience
And thanks for you and your spouse's patience as you have a great Army family in this tough time.
You want me to take the next one here from Renee M., who's asking a question about the Apache Arts and Crafts Center. She says, with the child youth services closing, a lot of families will be coming to Apache Arts and Crafts. With the close working conditions of the buildings, the employees and customers will be at higher risk. Is there a plan to close the building or limit access during the period of social distancing? So a great question, and we're looking at all of our facilities on the installation. So as patrons use the different facilities, we'll ask them to right now to practice social distancing, and if it looks like it's going to be a problem, we will continue to assess, and if necessary, we'll reduce the capacity or even close if it becomes a major issue here. But right now, we're trying to keep as many facilities and activities open where we're not going to get large groups of people in a closed environment.
If I could add to that, sir, just to our audience, the Army's a learning organization. And fortunate for Fort Hood, Texas, we have not been on the forefront. Second ID over in Korea, and then First Corps up in JBLM have been on the forefront of this. We're looking into their lessons learned and how they have tackled this problem set and what they've been doing to help the local communities. And I know a lot of the restrictions right now, hey, we're closing this, we're closing that. We need to focus on, and we're going to start shifting focus on what else can we do besides just being shut into our house and being... There are still a ton of things that we can still do with our friends and with our family. Let me go back and before I violate the social distancing. But there's still a lot of stuff we can do, and we're going to increase some of these things from the lessons learned that we read from our Army partners.
And then that hits just an important thread. If you look at the lessons learned from JB, Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington, and the lessons learned from the forces in Korea, Korea has already begun opening schools and child development centers now. So the measures they have taken, which are the same as the best practices we're implementing here, are effective. And when implemented, return operations to a state of normalcy. So I feel very confident that we are on the right path as part of the Department of the Army to doing what's necessary to get through this challenge. What we, like I said, to reiterate, what we enjoy in Central Texas for a lot of reasons is currently a very low threat level. And if the environment changes, we'll go right where the Sergeant Major said, and we'll look at, we already have identified the next steps. What we're waiting for is the environmental reason to get to that point.
Sure, I'll take the next question from Ted B., who asks a question. I think he's probably either one of our Department of Public Works employees. We're one of the contractors that work here on the installation. It says, what's going to happen to civilian and contractors who work on post? Are they at risk of catching the virus from customers? And great question. So I've talked with our Director of Public Works, and we've made some changes to specifically how we do maintenance and things where soldiers are quarantined. Where we've identified soldiers that are quarantined, we have decided not to do the priority 2 and 3. We're going to focus on the life, health, and safety work orders that need to immediately be done, but we'll defer some of the priority 2 and 3 work orders until so the soldiers are out of quarantine. And then when we do have soldiers that are in quarantine and we have to do those life, health, safety type work orders, we're issuing personal protective equipment with masks. To ensure that our workers are protected. And I encourage everybody to, even when you're working, practice that social distancing piece. Working across the installation, we can still do the work both with soldiers and with our civilians and contractors as long as we're practicing the social distancing and getting after the mission. Thanks.
And I think it's important to remember that quarantine is a preventive measure.
That's right.
The soldiers in quarantine are not diagnosed with the disease. It's an abundance of caution to make sure that they have not been infected remotely, and we're using that as an observation period to confirm that they're healthy. So right from the beginning, you start from a position of safety, and then we advance.
That's right, sir.
All right. From our social media.
Yeah, yes, sir. So Peter C. asks, how are we sure no one on Fort Hood has the virus when testing is limited? And how are we protecting our families? And Peter, the fact of the matter is we're not sure that no one on Fort Hood or anywhere in the community is completely free of disease If we were, then we wouldn't have to be at this heightened set of posture. The fact is we're making the assumption that there may be COVID-19 within the Central Texas region as well as in our base. And that's why these distancing, contacting healthcare through virtual mechanisms and isolation are so key. But we do not have the ability, nor does anybody in America, to know who has the disease or who doesn't. And then we are trying to get more testing across the region, across the country, but that is a problem that requires a different solution set. But it's an excellent question. I think there's the next one's for you, or the Garrison Commander.
I'll take the next one because Sergeant Major and I were just talking about this morning. And that's for soldiers that were on stop move, PCS, packed up their household goods, shipped them off, cleared housing, and were literally, in some cases, driving out of town and told to return to the last duty station. And now they're in a hotel waiting for these mitigation measures to be lifted, and they're concerned, rightly so, about how does the finances work, specifically temporary lodging expenses. The instructions are forthcoming. It's a problem shared across the Army right now, and the mechanisms are moving to change the authorization and regulations and policy to provide the living expenses necessary caused by this COVID virus. So continue what you're doing, remain at last duty station, and more to follow as we give specific instructions to cover these costs.
Another one for medical, and that's from Emily M., who asks, what are the symptoms that
warrant... You were like, Mr. Pop.
I thought I would be. So questions are, what are the symptoms that warrant testing? Not all soldiers get tested when they go to the ER-6. So, Emily, that's a complex question that's actually changing. But the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, has guidelines for testing. The guidelines as they stand right now are, if you're having fever, cough, shortness of breath, those symptoms, and fever is a common presenting sign of COVID. If you're having those three symptoms and you have had exposure to a laboratory confirmed case of COVID-19, you should be tested. If you have those symptoms and you have traveled in a level 3 or level 2 country, and you can go on to CDC to see what those countries are, you should be tested. The CDC has recently relaxed the indications for testing to a wider population. And that population is anybody for which you have a concern about COVID-19. So it would be fever, cough, shortness of breath, and a concern.
So the first question was, how do we quarantine soldiers in the barracks, and will the HVAC spread the virus in the barracks? And I think it's important to understand the differences between quarantining and isolating. And Rich, can I ask you to explain that to our audience?
Colonel Westbrook. So the difference is merely one of symptoms. So if you have symptoms, I would say that you should go isolate yourself because you're ill. So you isolate people that are ill. Those isolated patients should then be tested for COVID. And if they're determined to have COVID, they should stay in isolation. If you are not ill, but you're concerned about exposure, such as our soldiers coming back, you should go into quarantine. And so that's important, as you mentioned, because the level of protection is quite different.
And so then I'd go back to the question about the HVAC, and we can expand on that a little bit. So the virus is an aerosol spread. It's droplet spread. And so the HVAC systems don't facilitate the spread of the disease through the barracks. So we can quarantine and we can isolate soldiers in the barracks. But there's a distinction that you heard from the hospital commander of the quarantine and isolating, and it's going to take more effort from the chain of command when they have somebody isolating in the barracks than just quarantine.
Thank you. Good. I'll take the next one here from Myra asks, my husband returns home from deployment next week and must be quarantined for 14 days as per protocol. Does this mean I have to quarantine with him? So. Myra, I would say no, you do not have to quarantine them. And I think the easiest way to really focus this is just because your husband is quarantining, he can quarantine in the same residence as you. But think of it as if he had the flu. You know, how would you interact with him if he had the flu? So you want to have him isolate himself from you and distance within the same household. If your husband could sleep in a different room, use a different bathroom, then that would be fantastic to help with that quarantine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's the best way I can put it.
There we go.
Okay, there's one again for the hospital, and that's from Jen, I think it's L, that says, well, what do you suggest spouses should do regarding child care if they need to come to an appointment? So this is a big problem right now because the kids are out of school, so I'm tracking. So we have a child care center within the hospital that we're looking towards reducing the bureaucracy to get your kid in. It used to be that you needed to make an appointment. I'm asking that team to expand that child care center because it's a pretty small playroom right now. We're going to expand that child care center and relax the requirements so that you can drop off. You will have to do some paperwork when you drop the child off. It's not perfect by any means, but this will allow you to come in and have a plan for your child and get to your appointment.
Okay, I'm excited to answer the next question because it's one that's near and dear to my heart. It's from Hope W. And she says, my husband is set to come home April 7th from his European rotation. Start off, I thank your husband for his hard work in Europe and your hard work with the family while he's gone. Hope continues, no information has been given on whether he will be allowed to come home or what are the plans for these soldiers. Are they going to be quarantined? Okay, let me tell you, he's going to be allowed to come home. What I don't know at this time is what that date will be. So because of the protective measures that we talked about earlier that stopped travel, we canceled exercises, we reduced them, we scaled them, that has thrown, and not to mention the availability of aircraft, that has thrown that whole timetable into a bigger problem. So one of the things that the staff at Three Corps is working with the Department of Army on every day is aligning the aircraft and the timing to bring those folks home. And I don't have that date yet, but it's coming shortly because all of those soldiers are coming back home as soon as we can uncork the logistics. Now, will they go into quarantine? If the rules that we have today to control the spread of the virus remain in effect, then the answer is yes, those soldiers will go into quarantine. And then to kind of build on the previous question about spouses at home in quarantine, a soldier returning that has an off-post residence can quarantine in that residence, or they can elect to quarantine here on Fort Hood where we have single soldiers quarantined at. So we've had this come up already. Some spouses have said, hey, I've got small kids in the house. I'm not sure I want to go back in the house. I'd rather take 14 days on post just to make sure I'm not carrying it. Or some returning soldiers said, hey, I'm also my family's the caregiver for elderly parents. And for the same reason, I'd rather quarantine on post than even take the chance of being a carrier and taking it in the home. That option applies to all soldiers. So we offer, under the current guidelines, to let soldiers redeploy into quarantine in their domicile, but that's not a requirement. They can quarantine in temporary quarters here at Fort Hood if that's what suits their personal family circumstances. So thanks, Hope.
So there's one from Janice C. who asks, what are you doing at the Clear Creek Pharmacy? Many elderly congregate there, and that's a great question. And what we're doing at the Clear Creek Pharmacy will mirror what we're going to do in our main pharmacy. And that is we're going to ask our patients, our stakeholders, to drop off their prescriptions in a drop box and then ask them to go about their shopping or their day-to-day business. When the prescription is filled, they will receive a phone call or a text. And so that will happen at the Clear Creek Pharmacy beginning Friday, beginning tomorrow. It will also happen at our main pharmacy. In our main pharmacy, you will leave your appointment. The provider will enter the medicine, and you will not go to the pharmacy. You will go back to your activities of daily living, and then you will await a text. And we're hoping that will reduce the crowding in our around our pharmacy.
I'm hoping that that's so successful that we can continue that after we get done with the.
Yes, sir. I think we will. Yes, sir.
There will be some goodness that comes out of this in terms of better ways to do business, and we're going to capitalize on that. I'm excited about the next question because it might be the simplest one I'm getting all day. It's from Brittany. She says, what about NTC? Still planned? Well, NTC is still there and people are still going to it, but not in the immediate. I think it's 1st Brigade, 1st Cav is the next one in the chute to go to the National Training Center. They are stopped, moved in place, and the decision on whether they will go to that or be rescheduled, I expect to have in the next few days. And it's part of the calculus being done at the Department of the Army level for all similar type exercises as they look to do their part to stop the spread of this disease. So stay tuned, more to follow. Thank you.
Sir, I did see a couple of questions that scrolled by that referred to soldiers ETS and are retiring. So
we scroll back up.
Yeah, we did not on here, but on the actual Facebook screen. So I do want to address that because we did make the call to cancel the retirement ceremony. This doesn't mean that for our retirees that you will not be able to walk the stage. Once life returns back to normal, you can walk across the stage and get the recognition you deserve. And you can also choose or elect to retire or go through that retirement ceremony at any installation, not just Fort Hood. But if you are retiring within the local area, you can always come back to do that. We have not stopped any retirees or soldiers ETSing from the Army. Although some of our services have slowed down so that we can observe social distancing as you're out processing, no actions to hold ETSing or retiring soldiers have taken effect and will not take effect.
Okay. I think looking through the comments here on Facebook, we've covered most of the topics and we've been at this for an hour. I appreciate everybody's participation, especially as we work through technical difficulties. We're going to do this. Well, we've done them in the past. We're going to continue doing them in the future. I sincerely look forward to your cards, letters, and post. Tell us what worked for you, what didn't work for you, and we'll continue to evolve this to meet your needs. Also, if you have a type of question that maybe wasn't addressed by this panel, send us that question because it'll inform who we have up here, which one of my closest friends will sit up here with me and spend this quality time together. So in closing, what I want to do is again thank each and every one of you for joining us today. It's been impossible to answer every question we received as an individual ACES, but I think collectively we've been able to pull them together and share some critical information on the issues that confront us here in the near term. Our actions to date reflect best practices from across the Army, the Center for Disease Control, and thousands of hours of hard staff work, some of which started years before this current event. We do this to take care of soldiers, families, and civilians so that the Phantom Team remains ready. Please stay tuned to the official 3 Corps and Fort Hood social media platforms for the latest updates on the coronaviruses and changes here within Fort Hood. And I'd like to steal a line from the Chief of Staff of the Army, who I think said it best. Together we will win this fight because winning matters. And together, we are Army Strong. Thank you, Phantom Warrior Team.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast, saving you from coronavirus since February 20th, 2020.
We are back. And there it was.
Yeah.
There it was. The whole kit and caboodle.
I would like to point out that we are social distancing.
We are.
Yes.
Because right there now. Are arms on these microphones.
Mm-hmm.
It is on a round table and they're all connected to the same round table, but I am in this corner.
Mm-hmm.
I am in
this corner. Kyra's way over there. And you.
I'm by the door.
Yes, you are.
In the Great Big Podcast Studios. I just named them right now.
Absolutely.
I know. Everyone, you were part of that.
Absolutely.
Be sure to, that's one of those Facebook life events you can put in.
Oh, wow.
Was there when the podcast studio was named.
So with all this extra time at home, what is your favorite activity, Kyra, while you have to sit at home?
I like reading. It's a good escape.
Yeah, me too.
It's Especially since Netflix gets boring after a little while.
I actually unsubscribed.
What?
You did?
During this?
What? No, before this.
Brand, oh, okay. Brand names again. You guys, I can't teach you guys nothing.
Just call it Chex Mix.
Chex Mix. Wait, that's another brand name.
Okay. Yep. Man,
streaming services.
Streaming, Big Red and streaming service.
We're the army. The we don't use brand names. But there we go.
Big Red Inn and Chill.
Big Red.
Anyway, it's...
Charlie, you're just trying to fix a computer.
Yeah, that's right.
No brand names.
That's right. No, my computer died. Well, it didn't die. It's just the sound doesn't work.
Oh.
I purchased it brand new and the sound doesn't work.
Bad motherboard. Wow.
So they sent the guy out to fix it, and then the sound worked, but the USB ports didn't.
Nice.
Wow. So he put in the old motherboard, then the sound didn't work, and then he came out again the other day, and the sound still didn't work. And now the sound doesn't work, and it's what's called throwing a fault when you turn it on, so it does this big long beep and goes to an error screen. So the more they fix it, the more they break it.
Hmm. That's not good at all.
Nope.
And you think you're frustrated.
Yep.
He's got that on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm,
wow.
Mm-hmm. But in the big scheme of what's going on now, that's a little thing.
Yeah.
That's a little thing.
Little things add up.
Yeah, but it's the little things that make life worth living.
That's a good point. I went outside this morning and you could hear the birds chirping. It was just really nice.
That's kind of normal.
I know, but it was really nice.
It's a sign that we are not under biological attack. There you go.
I'll tell you what, the drive in this morning, it's half as much traffic.
Well, that's true.
That's
and, cool. You know, I still park two blocks away from the building, but...
No, I actually found a parking spot pretty easily today.
Actually, my favorite thing about the whole...
I forced myself to walk. You know, I'm old.
My favorite thing about the whole shelter-in-place thing...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big shelter-in-place, shelter-in-place, attention, shelter-in-place. But they're like, while you're sheltering in place, you can go fishing. Can go for a walk. Go play in the park. But shelter in place. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, it's because even if you go outside, as long as you're social distancing and you're not going to a building or something. That's
well, Kyra Pearl.
We are not gathering at the river.
In the age of WhatsApp and Zoom and text messaging and all this, aren't we all socially distanced anyway?
That is a great point. All right. You young folk, right? That's the way you operate and that's the way you speak. Text. I've heard it over and over. Yeah, well, how do you communicate? I communicate by text.
Mm-hmm.
You are social distance, and it's not a problem until somebody tells you you have to be. And my 21-year-old kid is upset that he has to social distance. Yeah. And it's like, makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You do it anyway. It doesn't get you mad until somebody tells you you have to.
It sounds about like my generation.
Yeah, it's totally them.
You know, for me, it's no fun. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, going to church is a big thing for me. There's no church. You know, and watching it on YouTube ain't cutting it.
Well, I don't like people, so I'm cool with it.
There's a really, really, really small Jewish community here, but the rabbi posted on Facebook saying that he was gonna post some links so we could try to do it online.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting about that is, you know, all of the religious services on Post are also now streamed. So
yes, they are.
I wonder after all this is done if that will continue, because it kind of seems like a good idea in general. I mean, they're already going to be set up for it. Why not stream as well?
Keep doing it. You're sick. You can stay home.
Yeah.
I feel like that might up the people who actually are attending.
Yeah, I don't see a downside of that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
It's a good thing.
Well, and I think we've probably talked people's ear off for...
Yeah, we have.
...for this week. So, with that, we will bid everyone adieu.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
See you all next week.